Good morning. And welcome to worship this morning. We welcome all in Jesus' precious name. We also welcome James McNave from West Kilbride and Fulton from Largs and Columbus as part of the local church review. And James will be leading worship this morning. But first, our intimations. Tea and coffee after the service. Good time just to be together and to share together in the big hall. Yes, in the large hall. And on 1:30 on Tuesday, the Guild welcome Agnes McIntyre, play music with the auto harp, and hopefully set the scene for our Easter service. Stevenson Chit Chat on Tuesday, 2nd of April, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Ardeer Community Centre, Development and Visions 2019, which is a chance to find out what's going on in the area. Kirk Session meetings this Wednesday, the 3rd, 7 p.m. at Livingston, and our dear Kirk Session will be here in the small hall on the 10th at 7 p.m. The Craft Club meets on Thursday afternoons from 1 to 3. There's cards available now, cards and small gifts for sale in the hall after the service. And a car wash at Drossen Park Church next Saturday, 6th, 11 to 3, and that's funds for a school in Malawi. Their roof was severely damaged in high winds. South Beach House service, 3 o'clock, next Sunday, the 7th of April. Please come along to share the worship with the residents there. And Holy Week times of services, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday evenings, 7 o'clock here. Monday, Thursday is communion service at 7:30 at the High Kirk on the Friday. And then the Eastern Reflections, 12:15 at the High Kirk Halls, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. And then saying at 7:30 at High Kirk on the Friday, Good Friday, and 7:30 at the Manse in the High Kirk. On the 20th, on the Saturday. And then Palm Sunday service here, 10:30, and it's the 14th. 7 o'clock down to Stevenson Point on Easter Sunday. If it's bad weather, it would be back up here. And then 21st I'm going to turn this way for a moment. 8 o'clock is the breakfast, again it would be here, and 10:30 the shared worship, we'll share and celebrate Easter Sunday together. Prayer time, reminder of prayer time from 5 past 10 to 25 past 10 every Sunday, just down the side here. Come and share any prayer points, it's just a part of time of being together in prayer. And one last one, an early notice for Keswick Ayrshire 2019, 31st of May to the 2nd of June at the Park Hotel in Kilmarnock, and there's 7:30 to 9:30 in the evenings. There'll be posters and flyers available, and I'm getting the electronic copy for the board, so we come to worship. James.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here in Stevenson Livingston this morning with all the folks from Ardeer as well. As Dave said, my name is James McNamee. I'm the minister up in West Kilbride, but I came as a convener of the committee from Presbytery who visited as part of the local church review, what used to be the quinquennial visitation. So I bring the greetings of Presbytery with me this morning, and I do also bring greetings from my own congregation in West Kilbride. As part of that committee, we also had the Reverend Jonathan Fleming, who's a minister at Cumbrae, linked with Largs St John's. We had Eleanor Taylor, elder at Kilburnie Aldkirk, and Fulton Murdoch, as Dave said, who's elder from Largs St Columbus. And I'm delighted that Fulton is here with us this morning as well. Let's worship the Lord together. Moses says this in Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. We're going to begin our worship together, and we're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. Join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Let's pray together. Loving Lord God, how good it is to come together in your name this day, to worship you and to give you the praise and worship that you alone are due. For you alone are God, and there is no other. You alone are the Lord over all creation, the heavens and the earth. You are the one who is worthy of all praise and all thanksgiving. And we praise you, Lord God, for who you are in your character, for you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You are holy and perfect in every way. And when we think upon who you are and all you have done, we can only marvel at your greatness and your power in comparison to our weakness. Father, we recognize that each one of us is far from you in transgression and sin, that each of us falls far short of your glory, thinking unworthy thoughts, doing things which are not fitting for us to do, hurting others in word and deed, bringing dishonor to your name. But we thank you that though we were powerless to reach out to you, that you in your grace reached out to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent Jesus into this broken world as the Savior of the world. And we give you thanks for his life, his teaching, and his miracles, which declared that he was and is the Son of God. And especially we think upon the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, dying so that we did not have to die, taking the punishment for our sin, and removing our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. So great is your love for us. Father, help us to lay our sin at the foot of the cross, to seek your forgiveness, because we know that when we ask, then you hear our prayers, and your desire is that we come to you, covered the righteousness of Christ. So, Heavenly Father, remind us of your goodness to us in the Lord Jesus. Help us ever to trust in him and strengthen us through the Holy Spirit to be a people who do your bidding. Lord God, we pray these things in Jesus' name, knowing that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. And so, Lord God, hear this, our prayer. And hear us now as we pray together with the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Now, it's lovely to be with you this morning. Did you remember? Well, you clearly remembered to change your clocks. That was a good thing. Put them an hour forward this morning. So you must be a wee bit sleepy this morning, is that right? No, you went to bed early, didn't you? No, that didn't happen either. But I want to ask, did you remember the other thing that's happening today? Because, of course, it is Mother's Day, or Mothering Sunday, okay? And I want to do just something a wee bit different this morning. I'm going to take this microphone, if that is okay, and I want to speak to some mothers. Would that be all right? So can you put your hand up if you're a mother? Okay? Can you put... Oh, come on. Can you put your hand up if you're willing to speak to me? Okay? Okay, so can I come round? And I'm going to speak to one or two, if that is okay. I think this microphone's on, is it? Yeah? Okay. Can I come and speak to you? Is that all right? Okay. How many children do you have?
Three.
Okay, how old are they?
18, 16, and 13.
Oh, three boys?
Uh-huh.
Okay, does that keep you on your toes?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And they're now all teenagers.
I know, that is quite something. Three teenagers in one house, imagine that. Okay. Okay, can you imagine ever forgetting about your children?
No.
No, they don't let you, do they? Because you've got to do the washing, the ironing, all the breakfast, all these kind of things. Okay, you're never going to... Do you think about them all the time?
Mostly.
Most of the time. Because they don't let you... Do you worry about them?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, you worry about them. Okay, thank you. Okay, someone else want to... One, don't be shy. Oh, I'm coming right to the back. Oh, okay, I'll come back to you. Okay, I'll come up to Kay up the back. Okay, Kay, how many children do you have?
I have two.
Two children. I won't ask what ages. Well, I can. Do you want me to? What ages are they?
14, 46.
Wow, that's older than me. That's quite something, isn't it? That's quite something. Okay. Do they live nearby still, Kay?
Yes. One in Ardrossan and one in Stevenson.
Okay. And do you forget about them or do
Never.
You remember them? Never. Okay. Do you still worry about them?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That's what they say, mothers never stop worrying about their children, do they? Okay? Okay, someone else want to share with me? I'm coming back down here, okay? If someone else said they would speak. Is that all right? Okay, how many children do you have?
I've got three.
Three children, okay.
Well,
The oldest is 53 and the youngest is 47.
Oh, there you go. Well older than me. Well older than me. Okay. Do they live nearby?
Sorry?
Do they live nearby?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Do you still worry about them?
No, they get on.
Oh, they get on with it. They should be worrying about you. That's the way it should be, isn't it? Okay. Okay, should we have one more? Anyone else willing? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. We'll go for it. Okay, how many children do you have?
Two.
Two. Okay. What ages are they?
31 today, one of them, and 34.
Very good. Good age. Okay. Do they live nearby?
No, one in Singapore and one in Glasgow.
Okay, so one's really far away, one's not so far away. Okay. Do you still worry about them?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Still think about them a lot? Yeah? Okay, absolutely. So, okay, Mother's Day. I can put this away, can't I? There we go. Mother's Day is an important day, isn't it? So I had to send my own mother a message this morning just to say that I was remembering her. But it's also difficult for me because I've got two wee boys. One is 8 and one is 4. And they would never remember it's Mother's Day. So I also have to organise something for them to say, give this to your mother, okay? To remember on Mother's Day that you are remembering her. Now, one of the questions I asked is, do you ever forget your children? And I don't think you ever do really forget your children. And the more I speak to people, the more they say, you know, I'm constantly worrying about my children. And sometimes I'll speak to people and they might be in their 90s and their children are coming up to retirement and they're still worrying about their children because we don't forget our children. I want to just think of a few verses in Isaiah, because sometimes we think that, you know, even though our mothers hopefully don't forget us, if they did, we can always be assured that God never forgets us. And sometimes we need to know that in our own lives as individuals, but we also need to know that as the church. I think one of the origins of Mothering Sunday was actually for people in outlying churches, church stations, to come into the mother church. That was the idea. Okay, so you had lots of rural churches, and they would, on that Sunday, they would come together into the mother church. They weren't forgotten. And I want to suggest to you today that God has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you as individuals, but he also doesn't forget the church. I want to read these verses from Isaiah 49, where it says, the Lord says this, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. And that's the encouragement, isn't it? That no matter how we feel, no matter what we're going through, if we belong to the Lord, he's written our name on the palm of his hands, and he does not forget about us. Okay, we're going to sing together once more, and we're going to sing, My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Hopefully you know the actions to this as well, okay? Let's stand together.
scripture reading this morning is the calling of Moses. It's Exodus chapter
3 and verses 1 through to 12, and it's going to be read this morning by Fulton Murdoch.
This morning, I'm using the New International Version. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue our worship now, and our offering for the Lord's work will now be uplifted. Join together once more in prayer. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we give you grateful thanks for all your goodness and all your blessings. We thank you for the good gifts that you shower down upon us. And we pray that our offering given to you this day may be for your glory and your praise and for the furtherance of your kingdom. And we pray that we might work towards that kingdom. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, we recognize that we live in a needy world and a dark world where there is much uncertainty, much pain, and much suffering. We do remember situations around our world and people where they are suffering at this time. We continue to remember Syria after all that has happened there over recent years, the many people displaced from their homes, those who have been forced into neighboring countries, or perhaps to make a treacherous journey over the Mediterranean to try to reach safety. Lord God, we ask in that situation that you would be merciful, that you would stay the hand of evil, and you would bring a measure of peace. We pray for other places in our world, Lord God, where there is suffering. We remember Yemen after the civil war there and the famine. Again, we pray for those who are suffering. And we do thank you for organizations such as Christian Aid and Tear Fund, who are working on the ground and helping those who are in need. And we ask that you would resource them in every way. We pray, Lord God, for Mozambique and Malawi and Zimbabwe after the cyclone there, the many lives that have been lost, those who have lost loved ones, those who have lost livelihoods and homes. And again, Lord God, we ask that you would be merciful. Heavenly Father, as we pray for our world, we are grateful, Lord God, that you sent Jesus into the world as the light of the world to shine in the darkness. And we thank you, Lord God, that as your people, that we reflect your light. We do pray for the church around the world, thanking you for those places where the church is growing, but also remembering our brothers and sisters in Christ, where they are persecuted for their faith in you, and we ask that you would uphold them this day. We pray for our own nation at this time, especially in the midst of political turmoil and all that has happened during these past number of weeks over Brexit. In many ways, Lord God, we don't quite know what to pray, but we thank you that you are sovereign over all, that all things are in your hands. And we do pray for all who represent us. We ask that you would watch over them, that you would guide them, and that you would give them the particular wisdom that they need at this time. We pray for our community, Lord God. We remember those we know who are in hospital at this time, those who are undergoing treatment, those who are recuperating at home. We ask, Lord God, for your healing hand to be upon them, that they might know your blessing and your peace. We pray for those who are grieving today and who know the pain of loss inside. We thank you, Lord God, that you're able to bind up those who are brokenhearted. And we pray for those who are mourning and grieving this day, that you would surround them with your love and care, and that they might be assured you are their God and that you have not forgotten them. Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, we thank you for the church of which we are a part. And particularly this morning, I want to pray for Stevenson Ardeer and Stevenson Livingston. I thank you for both congregations and for the witness over many years. I thank you for your faithfulness to them. As we come before you this morning, we do pray for Dave as minister, that you would watch over him and you would bless him, that he would know the infilling of your Holy Spirit and your guiding and leading. We pray for all the elders and all congregational members and adherents, And we ask, Lord God, for your blessing to be upon them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our unity in Christ. We thank you that we can come together, Sunday by Sunday and at other times, to come and to worship you, Almighty God. We thank you that in Jesus we have a great Saviour, and it's his name that we want to glorify and lift high. So Heavenly Father, we pray here in this place today that we might know your encouragement, that we might know your blessing, that we might know the depth of your love for us, and that we might know the infilling of your Holy Spirit. So loving Lord God, hear all these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29, and then 39 and 40. And again, Fulton's going to read that for us now.
By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And again at verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Please bless these words from the Holy Book. Amen.
Let's sing together once more before we look at God's word, and we're going to sing Before the Throne of God Above. Thank you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, as I said earlier, it's lovely to be with you this morning. And I hope that as we gather around God's word together, that we will find encouragement and challenge in equal measure. This morning, I really want to focus upon the person of Moses, and specifically the calling of Moses, before thinking about our own situation within the church at this time. Now, I'm sure over the years that you will know something about Moses, that he was the one who received the Ten Commandments. He was the one who led the people out of Egypt. But this morning, I do want to think about his calling. And so just so you can get your bearings here, I just want to give you the context of the passage that we read from Exodus this morning. The Israelites are in Egypt and have been there a long time, having come down from the land of Canaan, where there was a famine in the land during the time of Joseph. You remember Joseph of Technicolor Dreamcoat fame. But Joseph has long died and he's long been forgotten. And the Israelites are being oppressed by the Egyptians and are enslaved by them. And because the Pharaoh of the time believes that the Israelites are becoming too numerous, he tries to make sure that all the Hebrew boys are put to death. But in a miraculous way, we see that Moses is spared. When he is born, and when he's 3 months old, he's put in a basket covered in tar, a Moses basket, I guess that's where it comes from, and he's cast into the Nile. And he's left there pretty much to die. But providentially, Pharaoh's daughter sees Moses and lifts him out the basket and brings him into the royal palace. And so Moses is brought up in Pharaoh's household. And at this part in the story, when you see how Moses' life is preserved, how he's brought into the royal household, you think, aha, I can see what God is doing here. This is brilliant. He's preserving Moses. He's giving them the best upbringing in Pharaoh's household to equip him to free the Israelites. And so it would be thought that with the advantages that Moses had, that he would live out his life in a successful way and live out his life to God's glory. And so if you're coming fresh to this story, and you just read those first few chapters, you would think, this is a smooth path. God has got this all sorted out. But of course, that's not how things work out. Because when he's grown up, and he's probably around 40 years old, in a fit of temper, Moses kills an Egyptian, perhaps trying to do things in his own strength rather than doing things in God's timing. And this is discovered that Moses has killed this Egyptian. And so Moses ends up in exile in Midian as his life is under threat in Egypt from the Pharaoh of that time. And so you really start to think that the Moses' life that promised so much is just going to fizzle out. You see, it looked as though God was going to use Moses. It looked as though God had preserved Moses' life in a miraculous way, given him all the advantages of living in the royal household. And yet, it looks as though it's just going to be a big failure. And so Moses is in Midian. He gets married. He has children. He looks after sheep. Pretty ordinary life. Not much to talk about there, you would think. And if people had known about Moses, they would have said, what a waste. His life promised so much, but look at him now. And we don't know how Moses himself felt. Maybe he felt guilty as though he'd let himself down, let the people down, and most of all, let God down. But I want to see you to see today in this passage
is that despite Moses' flaws and what he had done in killing a man, that God had not finished with Moses. Because there is Moses, he's there in Midian, and he's out looking after the sheep one day when he notices this bush that's on fire. But the bush is not burning up. It's a peculiar sight. And from this burning bush, as Moses comes closer, the Lord calls Moses to an extraordinary mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, and back to the promised land. Now, the thing I really love about this story of Moses is that when God calls Moses in this passage, and sometimes we miss this, Moses is not a young man. In fact, he's 80 years old. He had lived his life. He probably thought that what he was doing now was his lot. Maybe he was thinking of retiring. We don't really know that. And yet, God called him. You see, isn't it a marvelous thing that the first 80 years of Moses' life are taken up in chapters 1 and 2 of Exodus? But from the age of 80, that story takes up another 38 chapters. That's quite a thought, isn't it, when you think about it? You see, it's true, isn't it, that often society doesn't value those who are older. We hear stories, don't we, that even if you're over 50 and you've lost your job, it can be incredibly hard to get back into work. And maybe you feel as you come to worship today, well, I've done my bit within the church. I'm just coasting. I'm retired. It's time for the young folk to take it on. Maybe that's what Moses thought. My time has passed. But I want to open up the possibility to you that no matter what age you are, whether you feel too young, too old, too inexperienced, somewhere in the middle, whether you've done terrible things in your life that maybe you're ashamed of, like Moses, that God might not be finished with you yet. And I want to open up the possibility to you that God can still use you and can still call you. You see, you might have noticed that the church in our nation at this time, and particularly in our own denomination, the Church of Scotland, has a problem. In fact, it's got lots of problems. The age profile of the members is very high. The age profile of its ministers is very high, and there aren't enough ministers to go round. There's a lack of young people. We know that, don't we? The membership of the Church of Scotland has been going downward every year. Since when? 1957. 15 years ago, the membership of the Church of Scotland was 600,000. Now it's about 350,000, and maybe even less. And maybe if you think back, you know that things have changed in the church. Because you yourself can remember times when you went on a Sunday school trip and it was bus after bus after bus. I did my probation period up in a church in Lethem in Perth. Dave also did a placement at this church. And there were stories of that church. It was a 1960s built church. They had to knock it down because it was a terrible, terrible build, and they had to rebuild it, and they rebuilt it in 2005. But the church had really changed over the years, and there were pictures when they were talking about rebuilding the church as to what had happened in the past, because it's good for us to look back into the past as long as it helps us for the future. And one of the things that they looked back on was the pictures of the Sunday school trips, 18 double-decker buses going on the Sunday school trip. And maybe you can remember that. There was another picture of the minister at that time, surrounded by 18 mums with 18 children, 18 baptisms on one Sunday, back in the 1960s. Now, if we take what's happening now and we compare it to the past, we might think, oh, this is depressing, isn't it? I'd love to have even 18 baptisms a year. That doesn't happen these days. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, but what's happening to the church in our land? And maybe sometimes you feel that, don't you? And you wonder what's going to happen in the church. And what's even going to happen in the church here in Stevenson? But be pleased to know that I haven't come to depress you today. I want to encourage you. Because what I want to say to you today is, how can we be depressed when we have a God such as ours and such a gospel to proclaim? You see, the God who is there in the 60s is still the God who is here today, is he not? Do we not believe that? You see, actually God specializes in lost causes. Just look at this story of Moses, or David, who was an adulterer, or Rahab, who was a prostitute, or doubting Thomas, or Paul, who persecuted the church. Did God use these people? Of course he did. The Lord's arm is not too short to save. Up until recently, our presbytery missionary partner was Helen Scott from Dalry. Some of you here today will know Helen. And she was out in Malawi for a good number of years. And out there in Malawi, the church is booming. Three services a day, 1,000 at each service, over 400 children in the Sunday school in the place where Helen Scott was. Now we rejoice with them in that, don't we? We rejoice that that's what's happening in the church in Malawi. And we also long for that in our church here, don't we? We long for churches that are full. We long for churches that are vibrant. We long for all ages to be represented. But what I want to say to you this morning is this, that though the Church of Scotland may seem as though it's dying, that it hasn't passed away yet. How do I know that? Because you're here today, and I'm here today. And God can still call us and God can still use us, whatever age we are and whatever has happened in our life. You see, the impressive thing about Moses is that he responded to God's call. He did trust. He did obey. Yes, at times he wobbled and he doubted a bit. Yes, at times he needed reassurance. But he went. He went back to Egypt. He went back to Pharaoh. And he led the people of Israel out of that land and towards the promised land. 5 years ago, we refurbished the church building in West Kilbride. And above the front door, we installed a stained glass window, which came from a church building in Glasgow, which was burned down. And it's the symbol of the burning bush. It's also on your screen this morning as well. The burning bush, of course, is also the symbol of the Church of Scotland. And it's, of course, from the story of the calling of Moses. And around the sides of the symbol of the Church of Scotland, you can just see part of it there, is the motto of the Church of Scotland. Nec tamen consumebatur. In Latin's not great. But it means, yet it was not consumed. And the logo of the Church of Scotland echoes the teaching of John Calvin, who saw the burning bush as representative of the people of God. The church which suffers in any age or place, but against which not even the gates of hell can prevail. We are in difficult days here in the church in Scotland, the Church of Scotland, but the church will not be consumed. Why? Because Christ is the head of the church, and the victory is already his. We must always have that eternal perspective before us, otherwise we would feel hopeless. You You see, before we get to the end of the story of Moses, what do we have? The Exodus. The people being freed by God from the Egyptians, including the Passover. And at the Passover, the Israelites sacrificed a lamb. A lamb that was perfect. It was, of course, a symbol of what was to come. Because it pointed a number of years forward, thousands of years forward, towards Jesus. You see, the people were not perfect. Just as Moses wasn't perfect, and Joseph before him, Abraham before him, Adam before him. But Jesus was perfect, the perfect Passover lamb who came into the world, not for the righteous, but for sinners. Sinners like you and sinners like me. And the church is for sinners. Sinners who are willing to repent and willing to follow Jesus. The church is all about him. You see, so often in the church, we can be so focused upon buildings, can't we? Or the business. But actually, the church is all about Jesus. And our focus should always be upon him. What does the hymn say? Turn your eyes upon, not the church, not the building. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so I want to encourage you today that when you believe and trust in Jesus, then God will surely accept you. He's not forgotten you. He has engraved your name into the palm of his hands. But know also that he may also call you. He may call you to places you thought never you would go, and to do things you thought you would never do. You're part of the church. And God has not finished with his people. He's not finished with the church in Scotland. He's not finished with the Church of Scotland. He's not finished with the church in Ayrshire. And surely he's not finished with the church here in Stevenson. You're not too old. You're not too young. There are not too many skeletons in your cupboard that God cannot use you. Moses was 80. Moses' partner in his calling was his brother Aaron. Surely he was a younger man, wasn't he? No. Aaron was Moses' older brother. He was 83. All we have to be is open to God's call. And when God does call, to trust and obey as Moses did. God is looking for a people who are faithful, who don't look towards their own interests, their own comforts, but who look as Moses did towards God, seeking to honor him. I wonder this morning, will we go forward in faith? Will we take hold of our salvation that is found in Jesus Christ? And will we be open to his call to serve him in whatever way we can, to his glory and to his praise? Amen. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for this story and your word this day. The calling you placed upon Moses' life. Moses, who must have felt he'd let himself down and his family down, his people down. And most of all, Lord God, let you down. Moses, who was just there looking after the sheep, most of his life probably over, perhaps thinking of retirement. And yet, in a miraculous way, an amazing way, you reached out, called into Moses' life, and gave him the task to take the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and towards the promised land. Loving Lord God, we take much inspiration from this story this morning because we recognize that things are tough within the church at this time, the church in Scotland, the church of Scotland. in our presbytery, perhaps here in Stevenson as well. We long, Lord God, for the church to be a vibrant place where all ages are represented. Perhaps we think back to memories of past days when the church was at the hub and the center of the community, where there seemed to be so much going on and faith seemed to be so vibrant. And we long for those days once more. Lord God, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you have not changed. You are still the same God who loves us, who cares for us. You're still the same God who calls out to his people. And we pray, Lord God, that as your people, that we not be focused upon ourselves, that we not be focused upon buildings which can sometimes just be such a drag, but most of all, we would be so focused upon you, that our own faith would be deepened, our own faith would be inspired, and we would want to serve you. Lord God, we thank you for the calling that you place upon each one of our lives to go and to make disciples. And we pray that we would be willing to do that, to go out to our family and our friends, to our communities, to share the good news of the gospel in word and in deed, that we might be excited about our faith and about the God that you are. And as we are excited, that others too would be excited, and that they would come into a relationship with you. So, loving Lord God, we thank you for your word to us this day, and we ask that you would encourage our hearts now through your Holy Spirit, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's sing together as we close our service this morning a great hymn of praise, Be Thou My Vision. now go in peace, go in joy, go in love. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.